More drama hit on March 13th when my mom calls me repeatedly during another job interview. When I finally called her back, she accused us of ruining her 60th birthday because Ryan's allergies. What? She knew he couldn't eat at the restaurant she had chosen. I'm sorry, what? And despite trying to find options, nothing was safe for him. That argument ended with me telling her not to worry about helping with the wedding anymore. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Here Comes the Drama. I'm your host, Krista Innes. Thanks for being here. First things first, I want to do a little mini celebration with you guys. If you follow me on social, you've probably seen, but it's been exactly 1 year. June 12th actually was 1 year since my book, Here Comes the Drama, A Ferris and Sloan Story, was released. I was actually doing a podcast interview, and when we stopped recording, she looked behind me and she was like, "Oh, did you write a book? What's it about?" And I was telling her all about it, and I happened to look up at the date and I was like, "Oh my gosh, it was exactly 1 year ago today that was released." And after we, you know, signed off and all that good stuff, I started looking into it. It was a year before that. So it was like June 2024 when I started the Ferris and Sloan skit and started talking to the audience about possibly writing a book. And then it was June 2025 where the book came out. And here we are, June 2026, a year later. And it's just wild to see what's changed since then in my content, more stories that have come out, and the progress I'm making with book number two. So first, if you're new here and you've not read book number one, here's a little review. This is one of the most recent reviews. Actually, it was just left. Oh, it was just posted today as I'm recording on June 16th. I did not notice that when I put this in here. This person says, "Love this book. I have followed this story since the beginning. I thought I loved the character then, but with the added details, they came to life even more. Can't wait to read even more from Krista." So that was my goal with this book. So a little quick background. So not to do like repeat myself. 2024, I started this storyline. I was putting my daughter down to bed and this story popped into my mind. And I literally heard the first line of the mom walking into the room saying, "Oh, I knew she would do this to get my son away from me." And from there, it just kind of blossomed. At that point, I had no idea it was going to be as long as it was. And I just kept kind of adding more and more to it. This was the first skit that was longer. I think at that point, my longest one was maybe four parts with not like a real storyline. I kind of just did like goofy things. This one went so long. The first season was 16 parts. I did a second season that was 16 parts. And then I did a third season while writing this book. That was too much. I don't recommend it to anybody. But season three, I think I did a little bit shorter, and then I also did a prequel. So if you're just getting into the Ferris and Sloan era or series, there's a lot you can get into. I've always told people, go back. If you're going to watch it, watch season one, two, then three, then go back to the prequel. Book one that I wrote, Here Comes the Drama, basically covers season one, but like this review says, it adds a lot more background that you can't see in these one-person skits. It adds a lot more character development, character detail, descriptions, and then a lot more dialogue. And then, of course, I changed certain things that happened because when I was creating these skits, especially then, I was just thinking as I went, right? I'd kind of have an idea of what was going to happen, but ultimately, I'd pick up the phone and just saw what came out. Also, at that time, I was not planning very well. So I would just have all of the accessories in front of me and I would basically just, I don't know, like pick them up one by one. I'd be like, "Okay, Jenny. Okay, Ferris. Okay, Mom," you know, and just kind of running through all of it. So it was a wild time. Now I'm happy to say I actually script everything out ahead of time. And so that way I can have like outfits for each character and I feel like it's a lot more smooth. But it was a process. My goal has always been to write a book. So it was just, the timing was amazing. Everyone was just so excited and interested in this storyline, these characters, that I was just so overjoyed to be able to do this. And it was just such an honor. So Here Comes the Drama, Ferris and Sloan Story, now officially been out for a year. Book number two, just a little update for those interested. Book number two is going to be called Drama Ever After, as of now. And it mostly follows season two, but again, there's a lot of extra stuff that you never saw in the skits. because when I take it back and write it all through, I reread through everything so many times and I'm like, wait, that doesn't make sense. I don't like the name for this person. I don't think they should live there. I don't think they should wear this, you know, that kind of thing. So a lot of updates as I kind of go back through everything. So book number two has been written. We're kind of in the editing phase. We already did one round of developmental edits with my literary agent. And then I just sent the next edits a couple months ago. So hoping to hear back soon if there's some more edits we need or what kind of the next process would be. Really excited for that. And I'll stop blabbing. But it just kind of took me for a loop when I was like, oh my gosh, it's been a year since it's been out. It feels like so much time and so little time all at the same time, if that makes sense. Okay, let's get into it. So starting off today, when I do solo episodes, I really try to find good dilemmas. So this is called Wedding Dilemma section. If you have a wedding dilemma you would like me to address or ask the audience, please send it to me directly. You can email me hello@kristaennis.com. You can DM me on social media. And these are usually shorter little stories where you're looking for some real life advice. So here's one that I came across today. Okay, it says, my husband and I have been married for 10 years now. Before our wedding, we made the decision to get married privately with just the two of us. Afterward, we threw a celebration with all of our friends and family because at the end of the day, we felt our wedding was about us and our commitment to each other. My family was incredibly happy for us and completely supportive. My husband, however, is one of 8 siblings, and several of them, let's just say, are entitled. They felt the need to call him and tell him he was selfish. Oh my gosh, okay. Selfish and wrong for not including them in our actual wedding ceremony, even though every single one of them was invited to the celebration afterward. Then came the party itself. Out of all 8 siblings, only one gave us as much as a card. One sibling showed up alone because his family didn't want to spend the money since we were already married. Others acted like the celebration didn't matter because they hadn't witnessed the ceremony itself. I won't lie, it hurt. Not because we regretted our decision, but because the people who claimed they were so upset about being excluded didn't seem to care once they were actually included. It's taken me a long time to make peace with it, but here we are, 10 years later, happier than ever, and planning to renew our vows this spring. So I have a question for your viewers. Do we invite his family this time around? Ooh, okay. A lot going on here. My immediate response, and I'm going to talk myself through this, and I want to hear what you guys have to say, of course. My immediate response is no. Because one, we're hearing that they are extremely entitled. Because you didn't invite them the way they wanted to be invited, they took that as, you don't want to include us. But it's not like anybody else was a part of that. Like you said, it was very important to have that moment alone with just you and your husband to show your commitment to each other. And I think that's beautiful. I love that you guys did that. I think that's so powerful. And you said, we want this moment alone together. The fact that none of them, so they came, wait, out of all 8 siblings, so one gave a card, one came alone because they didn't want to bring the family because you're already married. It doesn't say anything about the other siblings. I don't know if I can assume all the other ones came, but they didn't send a card or anything, or did none of them come? Let's see. Out of all 8, only one gave us a card. One showed up alone. Others just acted like it didn't matter. So I don't know if acting like it didn't matter mean they didn't show up, or when they came, they're kind of just like whatever about it, which to me, that's kind of icky in itself, right? They're going to come by and just be like, well, you're already married, so whatever, it doesn't matter. If they showed up, that's a little different from my response. Like they showed up, but what do they say? It's not about what people said, it's about how they made you feel. So if they came and they kind of just made you feel like, okay, well, at least we came to this, but you didn't include us and we're mad now and we're going to make you feel bad for not inviting us. That's one thing. I also want you to think about how the last 10 years been with them. Do you guys see each other? Do you guys make an effort to see each other? How does your husband feel about everything? Does he still talk to them? Or is there kind of a weird rift ever since then? There's a lot of factors to include. I can't just say yes or no. Do we invite his family this time around? My gut, because you're asking it, do we invite it? It makes me think that you and your husband are already on the edge of like, no. They don't support us. They were weird at our initial wedding celebration. And also, can we just pause for a second? Why are people so entitled to other people's weddings? Like, here's the thing. Many times when you actually go to someone's wedding, they're not actually legally married at that point. Does that bother you? Someone I talked to once, she said they didn't even like have the paperwork filled out. And some people made comments about it. They're like, well, it's not even a real wedding. And she's like, okay, but you wouldn't be there when we're signing the paperwork anyway, right? There's a witness later on that's usually with the maid of honor, best man. So you're not really there to see it. So I think that's very odd in itself. So here's my thing. If the other siblings didn't show up, they were rude. And then over the last 10 years, they've made comments. They don't show up to things for you and your husband, maybe kids' birthdays or things. Then I would say maybe don't invite them. Maybe just invite a close group of friends or people that you can really rely on. If in the last 10 years, you have kind of made amends, you still think about that day, but you're like, okay, we've moved past this. My husband's still really close with his siblings. We've gotten together for holidays. We're happy in our marriage. We want to show that to everybody and celebrate. I would say invite them. So I know it's not just a yes or no, but think about also how many people. If you're like, okay, we only want to invite 20 people, how's that number looking? With 8 siblings and their significant others, their kids, that adds up very fast. So think about how that's going to fit into numbers. Is this going to make a bigger gap in the family dynamic? Would your husband be upset by that? So there's a lot of things to kind of think about. And maybe you can give me a follow-up too as well to kind of understand what exactly happened. It's hard. It's hard and it's very complex because of, yes, the siblings did act very entitled. I'm a little stumped by this one. I would ask yourself all these questions and be like, okay, what are we looking for? If they come, are they going to make comments that's going to make me uncomfortable? Am I still uncomfortable by them? Because if you are, and if your husband and you still kind of feel icky about that day and don't see them a lot, I would say do not invite them. So based on what I see in front of me, and the fact that you're asking, do we invite his family? I'm going to say no, if it's not a great relationship. To me, someone that was entitled to or felt like they were entitled to see the full wedding ceremony and the after party doesn't matter, they're not going to feel like vow renewals matter. They might roll their eyes. They might come late. They might come and just make comments about like, oh, I had to take off work, or just make comments about it. So if you feel deep down that's going to take away from the celebration and take away from the day and kind of make you feel hurt again, I would say no. I would say leave them out. So there's a lot to consider here. I want to throw this off to my audience as well. So if you guys have something to say, please comment on social media or YouTube and let us know what you guys have to say about the situation. And to this person, if you have more to add, please send it to me, like some more details that we kind of talked about, and I can comment as well, like, oh, from the person, if you want to do it anonymously. All right. Thanks for sending it in. Again, as I've said, if you guys have your own wedding dilemma that you want me to push out to the audience, you want me to answer myself, email me hello@kristaennis.com, or you can DM me on the socials. Hey, drama lovers, big news. My book, Here Comes the Drama, A Ferris and Sloan Story, is officially out now. If you've been following their wild wedding saga online, this is the full story, packed with messy twists, sharp banter, family chaos, and all the heart you've come to love. And judging by your messages and posts, you're loving it too. Huge thanks to everyone who's already grabbed a copy early and shared it on social media. Your support means everything. If you haven't read it yet, now is the time. Head to kristaennis.com/book or click the link in the show notes. It's available in both print and ebook. Grab your copy before the spoilers start showing up in the comment sections, because trust me, you'll want to experience every jaw-dropping moment for yourself. Okay, let's get into some hot takes. Here we go. Guest experience hot takes. If your wedding requires a flight and hotel, you should not expect a gift. Oh, one more thing I want to say about this dilemma. I don't think the gift or card thing should be part of the issue. Again, I don't know anything about travel. If they had to travel to get to, take time off work, the gift thing shouldn't be it. But I think it was already just kind of like stinging because of how they acted. Anyway, back to this. Okay. If your wedding requires a flight and a hotel, you should not expect a gift. I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me, but I agree with this. I had this wedding etiquette expert on here, and she talked about how you shouldn't show up empty-handed to any kind of event. But that doesn't mean you spend a ton of money. Think about your budget ahead of time. Like, let's say for all wedding events, you can spend $200. That means 50 here, 50 here, 100 here, right? So if you're spending a flight and a hotel, you should not have to buy a really expensive gift. I really don't think you should. But bring a card. Maybe it's a card and then a gift card to their favorite restaurant. Or maybe it's a card and a bottle of wine. So you can get a bottle of wine for $10. You can get a bottle of wine for $50 and probably more. Not that I would know because I don't buy expensive wine. But just something nice to show, like, thank you for inviting me and bringing me here. But again, for my own wedding, people that traveled and I did not even expect them to get me a gift. You're paying for a hotel, rental car, possibly a flight, possibly a new outfit. That takes a lot, taking time off work. So no, I did not expect a gift from all these people that traveled in. Guests care more about food and timing than your decor. I 100% agree. I know me as a guest, I care way more about the food, drinks, and timing. I don't want to be waiting a long time. I want a good vibe. I notice decor when I walk in because I've worked in weddings. I love weddings. I adore decorations. But your average person is not going to notice decor. They're not going to look back at a wedding and be like, wow, that decor. Some weddings, every once in a while, I'm like, I think about a wedding and I'm like, that was beautiful. But I think more about like the venue and I think about maybe some little details. Like, I went to a wedding once, shout out Mandy, where they had a chocolate menu. The menu was literally made of chocolate and I'd never seen or witnessed anything before like that in my life. And I was like, I will literally never forget this. But her and her family are just amazing at detail and everything. But again, the average person will not care as much about detail. Okay. A wedding that runs on time is more impressive than one that looks expensive. I don't know if impressive is the right word. Because there's a lot of things like your guests will never know. If you're running 15 minutes behind, unless it's a ceremony, everything else, if you're running 5 to 10, 15 minutes behind, people will not notice. Now, where you run into like an hour behind or 45 minutes behind, people will notice if they're waiting. But yeah, I think people like being on time. I don't know if it's necessarily more impressive or not. Long gaps between ceremony and reception are worse than having a short ceremony. It depends. Is there a long gap where there's a cocktail hour and hors d'oeuvres or like snacky foods? How long is this gap? I would say no longer than an hour and a half. That's usually plenty of time to mingle, to hang out. I love a good gap where you can like go see people. It is kind of awkward when the gap is so short and you don't actually get to like see people or get to like hang out. And it's just like one thing to the other. It feels very like business. It doesn't feel like a fun event. So there's a definite like happy medium, I would say. I wouldn't say it's worse than a short ceremony because I don't think short ceremonies are bad either. I've been a part of ceremonies that were 10 minutes and it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. One of the weddings I did last year, she knew exactly what she wanted. She was like, we're literally just going to walk out there, get to our spots, say something very quick. It's going to be like 10 minutes, walk back. That was such a fun wedding to coordinate. That was not the only part I coordinated, but it was so fun. She knew what she wanted to do. It was 10 minutes long and I had no problem with it. I thought it was great. Okay, this next category is money and expectations. The average wedding cost pressure is ruining what weddings are supposed to be. I 100% agree with that. I feel like it started with like the Pinterest, and I'm not bashing Pinterest. I love Pinterest, but you got to use it in the right way and have the right like blockers on, right? People see these Pinterest weddings and they think this is so doable. I can do this for $10,000. Like, no, those are like usually $75,000 to $100,000, right? So you can look to kind of get inspiration, but people see these crazy Pinterest and social media weddings thinking like, that's what I have to do to impress my guests. And you can do all of it for so much cheaper, cut the corners a little bit, do what's really important to you, spend what's important to you. Like if food's really important to you, spend more on food. If good wine is important to you, spend more on good wine. If flowers is more important to you, think about what's most important to you and put that at the top of your bucket and don't compare yourself. That's where people get lost. The comparison of like, oh, I went to Jenny's wedding and they were in this ballroom and there was a 3-course meal and we'd champagne at every table. Just think about what makes sense for you. So easy to get lost in it. So yeah, I think there's a lot of pressure. Social media, like I'll be scrolling and I'm like, oh my gosh, this wedding is beautiful. Oh, I wish I did that. I'm like, so not me. So unrealistic. Open bars are overrated if your crowd isn't big drinkers. Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I'm someone where I think an open bar is like pretty standard for weddings. I've been to some that have been just like beer and wine and some cocktails, and I think that's fine too. I don't think you need top shelf open bar, but yeah, definitely know your audience. I think also, what does the couple want? Are they big drinkers or do they not drink? If you don't drink, there's no need for an open bar. Have just some options if you want, or have a dry bar. No shame in that. Spending beyond your means for one day is almost never worth it. Yeah, I 100% agree with that one. I've heard some people say they like spent crazy amounts of money and they opened up credit cards and teach their own, but I don't recommend it. You don't want to start off the first year of your marriage being in debt and struggling to pay it back. Yes, people will gift you money, but who's to say it's going to cover what you spent? Really stick to your budget. I think it's just so much better walking into a marriage saying like, oh, now we have this extra money in our savings. We stayed really below budget. I remember saying like in my 20s, when I would think about weddings and stuff, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to have like over 200 people there. And then I guess I got a little bit older, like your circle gets a little bit smaller and you realize like who's really been there for you? Who do you really want to see in your wedding day? I think we ended up inviting like 150, maybe 130 were there. And I just think it's really important to step back a little bit and see who's going to be with you for the long haul. Okay, that's all I got for wedding hot takes. If you have a hot take, send it to me. I love surveying the audience on these hot takes. Sometimes I'll share one and I'm like, I didn't really know that was a hot take. Okay, this is a little like behind the scenes before we get to this week's story submission. So on YouTube, I'm starting to do a mini, not really mini series. They're YouTube shorts. I'm doing like 2 to 3 mini YouTube shorts every single week now. They have nothing to do with the storyline that I'm currently working on. It's just a fun way to share like little segments. So check those out on YouTube shorts. And then I'm also working on a new series. I don't want to spoil too much because we're still kind of tweaking it a little bit, but it's going to be called like Coffee Confessions. And it's going to be a new series where there's reoccurring characters from bigger skits. And again, they'll have nothing to do with the main storyline, but I'm kind of pulling them out and having them appear in different fun places. So that's, again, a little behind the scenes for my real listeners here. I'm not going to post it anywhere else. No, so these will be only on YouTube, my new YouTube shorts, and then this little coffee confessions. I thought it'd be a fun way to show like the different sides of characters. If Kate showed up somewhere and was like chatting with a stranger, like really talking herself up. So more to come on that, but I just want to share a little something I'm working on with you guys. Okay, let me drink some water and get to this week's story submission. All right. As a reminder, all of these episodes are, you can listen to them and you can see the full thing on YouTube. So obviously, if you're already watching it on YouTube, you know that. But if you're listening to it, these are also posted on YouTube. I'm so close to hitting 100,000 followers, which is just wild to think about. So if you've not yet subscribed on my YouTube, please subscribe there. I'm going to be doing a big giveaway when I hit 100,000. We are about 8,000 subscribers away. So getting there. Okay, time for this week's story submission. Hi, Krista. I've been listening to and watching your skits and podcasts for quite some time, and my fiance surprised me with a copy of your book. Ooh, green flags. I love that. I love them all. Now it's time for my turn to tell my story. I'll be sending different parts and writing as I go. Please feel free to use my story for your podcast or a skit if you would like. My fiance Ryan and I, names have been changed, got engaged around our 11-month anniversary in February of 2026. This is happening right now. Okay, I'm going to change any other personal details so that no one knows it's them. Okay, we were out on a walk at a park near our home near New York when he took my hand and led me to a tree where we had taken our first selfie together. He got down on one knee and asked me to marry him. I cried during the proposal and even while saying yes. Ryan originally planned to propose on our 1-year anniversary, but he couldn't wait any longer. We announced our engagement on Facebook, called our parents, and celebrated with dinner at an expensive restaurant thanks to some help from Ryan's coworkers. While Ryan was planning the proposal, I was going through a difficult time because I was losing my daytime job at my job. I'm not going to say the name. It's a nurse and chef gear store that also does embroidery. My boss had planned to sell everything and switch to an online store. I wasn't having much luck finding a new job, and it was really stressing me out. Our engagement helped keep me going while I continued my job search, went to interviews, and finished my responsibilities at my job while she still had it. About a week after getting engaged and after a lot of excitement and encouragement from our families, we finally set our date. And again, I'm not going to say the date to give them some privacy. While we announced the date, my stepmom, Laura, and dad, David, and later my mom, Michelle, agreed it was the perfect date since it's actually 2 days before my 34th birthday. All names have been changed. They even said, having a wedding that day is actually the best birthday present ever from Ryan. I agreed. It really does feel like the greatest birthday gift, and also a wonderful anniversary gift for my future in-laws, whose anniversary is 2 days before the wedding. Throughout the first month of wedding planning, there was already some drama involving my mom, which eventually led to her cutting me out of her life. Wow, okay, that's a lot. For some background, my parents are separated when I was 4 and divorced when I was 5. My dad married Laura when I was 6, and we didn't get along until I reached adulthood. My parents have never gotten along, even after remarrying. My mom remarried when I was 15, and I got along well with my stepdad, Steve. There's a lot of people to consider and think about here. A few years after I moved into my first apartment in 2018, after my maternal grandma passed away, things started getting rocky between my mom, Steve, and me. It happened when I lost my job as a daycare teacher and continued through my mom's cancer diagnosis in summer of 2022. Even though I tried to fix my mistakes, nothing ever seems to be enough for them, especially when it comes to my jobs and paying back my college loans. Before moving into my first apartment, I'd also gotten into a fight with my dad, and we didn't speak for nearly 6 years. Thankfully, we're on good terms now, again, after I reached out in early 2024. A lot going on here with the parents. That's a lot to handle. Before we even got engaged, my dad and Laura told us that in October of 2025, that they would help with the wedding. She's really good with dates here. I'm trying to like picture it all when this all happened. Okay. They would help with the wedding. Then around Christmas 2025, Ryan's cousin had their reception at a rescue fire hall in another place in New York. And we decided we wanted to use the same venue. It was beautifully decorated with Christmas trees, fake snow, and gold and white lights. Ryan's mom's cousin, we'll call him Mike, owns a catering business and manages the hall. And luckily, he and my stepmom already knew each other. In early March, I invited my mom and Steve to come look at the venue with us. The morning of the appointment, my mom called while I was in the middle of a phone interview. When I called her back, she was upset and said she couldn't come because it would be too awkward. She was also frustrated about the financial issues we were having, which had caused some of my paychecks to bounce at the time. She took that as me not trying hard enough, even though I was actively job searching and handling things as best as I could. Situations like that made me feel so overwhelmed that I worried about my health from the stress. I told my stepmom that my mom wouldn't be coming, and she would eventually talk things through and find a way to help keep the peace, even suggesting separate wedding showers if needed. I hate that. Why can't we get along for one day? Like, I get there's like a lot of nuance to different relationships and we don't know what happened, but put them on opposite sides of the room. Believe me, I've been to weddings, showers, bachelorette parties, many different events where two people hated each other in the room and they made it work. They made it work. Maybe they went home and talked badly about each other. I don't know, but they were there and it was fine. I think people can do that, right? Oh gosh. Okay. I felt a little bit better until we got to the wedding venue and I saw my mom's car already parked there. None of us expected her to show up. That's weird. Thankfully, everyone was polite and the meeting went smoothly. Ryan and I decided to book the fire hall for both the ceremony and reception. After we paid, my mom left right away. Okay, interesting. Later that night, I checked in with her and thanked her for coming. She replied that she had fun, but that turned out not to be true. I wonder what made her change her mind. We moved forward with planning the bridal shower and other details, but more drama hit on March 13th when my mom called me repeatedly during another job interview. When I finally called her back, she accused us of ruining her 60th birthday because Ryan's allergies. What? She knew he couldn't eat at the restaurant she had chosen. I'm sorry, what? And despite trying to find options, nothing was safe for him. That argument ended with me telling her not to worry about helping with the wedding anymore. Okay, a lot of people have allergies, whether it's like gluten intolerance, dairy, whatever, they have allergies. It's not him ruining her wedding. I mean, you guys know this listening, but any sane person knows that. She can pick a restaurant and he can bring something, or he can, you know, maybe they just have a small birthday. I would never accuse, like, one of my best friends has a ton of allergies, right? I would never accuse her of ruining something I wanted to do because of her allergies. That's wild, wild behavior. Okay. So it led to them not wanting to help with the wedding anymore. The next day, things escalated even further. She called again, demanding money, and accused me of killing her financially. So what is this about the finances? So the mom's struggling, the person writing in, the bride, is losing her job. But where's the gap here? Does she owe the mom money? Does the mom think the daughter owes her money for something? That's what I'm kind of missing here. It doesn't say why the mom's wanting money from her. I don't know if there's some like IOU thing or what's going on. She insisted we meet. Then I got into her car. She began to yell at me. When I tried to leave, she refused to let me out until I threatened to call the police. Okay, this is toxic. Yeah, I would not be inviting this person to my wedding or having them anywhere near me, especially your mom. Okay. She threw my ID at me, called me names, and told me to have a nice life. Okay, done. I don't know what that is. Done. That's what I meant to do. Done. Done. Again, I don't know the backstory here. I feel like there's a little gap. Something's missing. Something between you and your mom. I know you said something started a while back, but I'm not sure where the finances are coming into it. If she felt like you owed her for something, she was never paid back for something. Do you agree that you owe her something? Is she now mad seeing that you guys are putting money into a wedding when you still owe her money? I don't know what that is. It just says she's frustrated about financial issues we were having. So I'm a little confused by that. Okay, maybe we're going to get a follow-up on that. Okay, after that, Ryan and I made the decision to not invite her or my stepdad. It was incredibly difficult, but Ryan stood by me through everything. See, here's where I would be a little apprehensive now. I agree with not inviting her because anyone that acts like that, this toxic behavior, you don't know what they're going to do. But you're going to need security because she knows where you're getting married now. And I'm glad I took out, because when this person sent me all these details, like she put in like the city, she put in where they're getting married, when they're getting married. I'm like, I'm going to take out all these details, but it sounds like the mom was there. So I would get some kind of security to make sure she doesn't show up. Because the fact that at the venue walkthrough, she said, I'm not coming, and called you that morning freaking out, but then was there early before everybody else and seemed fine. She has the potential to maybe show up at a wedding she's not invited to. It says, my dad and Laura apologized for what I went through and encouraged me to focus on the wedding instead. I picked up more hours at work. We adjusted financially and we kept planning. We also tried to plan an engagement party, but ended up canceling due to schedule conflicts. Okay, I do not want to come off judgy here. I need to know more about this financial issue. Is it with the mom? Are you and your husband having financial issues? Is she taking some of the burden? Where's this financial like stress coming from? I would say if you guys, again, and I'm not a financial coach, don't take financial advice from me. I'm just curious about if there's stress with finances or debt, there seems to be a lot of extra costs. I'm trying to say this in the nicest way ever. It seems like we're planning a wedding, paying for a venue. Is that money coming from somewhere else? Is that your money or fiance's money? And then don't plan these extra things, right? Engagement party, not needed, not needed. The only time I think they're really fun is like if they propose like that day and then you guys do some like fun little shindig together. But to plan these elaborate engagement parties, it's not needed. It's such a money suck, an extra cost. If you can afford it, great. But there's already some financial stress and like that's pulling people away. It's okay. It's okay to hold off. Okay, on top of everything, we were dealing with the loss of a family member, friends facing job struggles, and uncertainty about who would even be able to attend the wedding. It felt like one thing after another. Despite all this, we are still moving forward. Planning has slowed down, but we're focusing on what matters most and doing the best we can. That's part one of my story. With everything that's happened so far, I'd really appreciate any advice you might have. Okay. So I know I've kind of stopped along the way and shared my advice as it kind of comes up. There's a lot going on here. I think you guys have made a really smart choice of not allowing your mom at the wedding. It sounds like you and her already had some issues and it's toxic. At this point, her screaming at you, throwing things at you, telling you to have a nice life, she's either serious or she's trying to test and see what she can get away with. That's good. Keep that distant, I think. As for everything else, I'm not really sure, again, where there seems to be a gap here. Something is missing. I don't know where the financial issues are coming from, where the mom keeps bringing up we're having financial issues. The job thing as well, I'm not really sure. It sounds like you're still able to work a little bit before the job completely moves online. So I would just keep doing what you're doing with focusing on that. It sounds like there's a lot of parties here. You guys are doing a good job of sticking together. It sounds like your husband or your soon-to-be husband is by your side in every decision you make, which is what you need. I'm hoping you don't have a part two with more other stories. It sounds like you are anticipating more stories, more things to happen. I hope not. But again, I would really encourage you to look into some kind of security for your wedding just to make sure mom doesn't show up, because it sounds like she knows what the venue is. She knows the date. She knows all the details. So making sure you are limiting her access to you. Yeah. That's what I would say about that. Again, you guys listening, tell me what you guys think. I think there is a lot missing here. I think we could get a little bit more out of here. Just trying to make sure. I know people, sometimes you guys listen it back through and you'll be like, oh, you missed this. Oh, she said this. When I read it through the first time live, I sometimes miss some things. So it sounds to me when I'm reading it through that your mom is maybe stressed about you not having money or a job coming in. And then there's some kind of other thing. Okay, wait, I'm finding it as I'm kind of going back here. Okay, so it says, even though I fixed my mistakes, nothing ever seems to be enough for them, especially when it comes to my jobs and paying back my college loans. That's what it is. So the mom is mad that you're not paying her back for your college loans. Again, that's a thing that's going to be different from every family. Some families, the parents pay. Some, they expect the kids to pay back. Some, it's financial loans, like college loans. Like that's what I'm currently paying off. But it sounds like you guys were on good terms up until the wedding and she was supportive of the date. So I think the stress of the wedding is getting to her. And she's like, well, you haven't paid me back for your college loans yet. Why are you paying for a wedding? And now you're losing your job. Where's this money coming from? And finance and money brings a lot of stress. Like, and if we have financial stress from our previous generation, it gets carried on after each generation, right? So I think it really has to do with that. She's seeing you spend this money, but maybe her and her husband now are having financial issues because she feels like she's owed this money from your college loans. And again, I'm not going to say what's right or wrong. Every family does it different. I don't know what you and your mom agreed to. If she said, oh, I'll pay for half your college and you pay the rest, or we're going to go through a financial institution and you have to make payments. I don't know. So that I can't really give too much advice on. But it sounds like a lot of stress on both sides. I mean, it's not like you even asked her for money for the wedding. Saying that you're ruining, or that Ryan is ruining her 60th birthday is very odd to me. Again, I don't know what his allergies are. I'm sure you can find a place if she really wants to celebrate with everyone. If it doesn't work, I know people that have allergies and they just bring something separate, or they eat before or they eat after. Usually they can make it work. I've never heard of an allergy where you just like can't go places unless it's like super extreme. So I think you're doing everything right. Make sure you guys just stay on the same page, cut out the toxic behavior, and then just get on the same page when it comes to everything you want to do moving forward. It sounds like you were able to pick up more hours at work. I don't know if that's your current job. I'm really dissecting this one, you guys. What are you, tell me what you guys think. I really hope there's not more. It sounds like you're anticipating more issues. But if you guys just stay firm with your mom's not invited, I don't know if you've told her yet or how you're going to tell her or if you're going to tell her. But I would just say stick together. Yeah, that's wild. That's wild. All right. Sometimes I'm just at a loss for words. I think I had many words, but you know. All right, let's end with some confessions. A moment you felt overwhelmed at your own wedding or someone else's. I was maid of honor. At cocktail hour, a friend spilled a full glass of wine on me accidentally. Yeah, that would overwhelm me. Yeah. Had to greet everyone, didn't eat properly. I've heard that a lot. If you're a bride, sneak some snacks in the back, have something set aside for you, have a wedding planner, day of coordinator, your maid of honor, pull something aside so you can scarf down some food. Make sure you're eating. My photographer was amazing and literally put in schedule, Krista, eat. And when I would get too distracted and start talking to my bridal party, she's like, Krista, you got to eat. Krista, you got to eat. Here's a sandwich. You got to eat. So you need someone like that. Try not to cry from stress. When guests kept asking me questions, is that during the wedding planning or during the wedding itself? Okay. When distant relatives came through the receiving line and my dad assumed I knew them well. This makes me think you didn't know they were invited and your dad just invited them. There's something weird about certain people where they want like second and third cousins invited or like distant relatives that they never see and you don't know them. And it's like, but it's a party for everybody. It's like, no, like that's weird to meet someone or like see someone for the first time after 10 years at your wedding. Like, we don't need that. Okay, guys, that's all I got this week. My voice is dried out. I need to rest it a little bit. Thanks for hanging out with me, and I will see you next time. Bye now. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Here Comes the Drama. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate, review, and share it with a friend who loves a good story. And make sure you're following me on all socials at Hey Krista Innes for even more stories, skits, and a little extra drama. Until next time, protect your peace, and I'll see you soon. Bye now.